Everybody, hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. I was just checking my email there, and the first caller we had today, Robert, I believe was the name, sent me some photographs of his live oak tree, and it's definitely what I thought. It's kind of a couple of different fungal leaf spot fungal diseases, cosmetic more than anything. But I know that a lot of you have similar issues with various trees, oaks and elms. Some of the American elms look terrible. The leaves are almost totally brown from the same thing. You can spray with one of the organic sprays, cornmeal, hydrogen peroxide, potassium bicarbonate, baking soda, you know, any of those that we, and all that information about how to mix them if you don't buy commercial products, which are available, by the way, are on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Just go into the library, and you can do that, and it'll kind of help shut down some of those fungal things. But to be honest with you, most of it's cosmetic. Most of it is not seriously damaging to the trees. If you go ahead, even if you've been organic for a while, and even if you think you have the flares, the base flares, the root flares or trunk flares, whatever you want to call it, exposed dramatically, you need to do it. And if you think you have it exposed and you're having issues like that, those fungal leaf spots or galls, heavy amounts of galls or woodpeckers drilling into the trunk or whatever, even if you think the flare is exposed enough, do it some more. Make it more dramatic. The tree has this incredible ability, if you do that, to do this. It's a fascinating thing. Like I said earlier in the show, we're putting more information on Torque and on the websites about this, but how it chemically and biologically happens inside the tree is just fascinating. It's very complicated, but the simple explanation of it is if you expose the flare so it can breathe properly like it's supposed to, and if you aren't, you know, putting out the harsh chemicals around the tree and causing, you know, issues that way, the tree will take care of itself. It's pretty fascinating how it works. I've got a hackberry that's the best example of that at the office that was in really bad shape when we got the place back by the garage. And I haven't even done the whole sick tree treatment. I just did kind of a partial exposure of the base of the plant. I'm going to do more. But even doing a partial exposure of the base, the color of the foliage improved. The nipple galls that are common thing for the leaves of hackberries and the mistletoe in the tree all vanished, just went away. And I didn't do anything. I didn't spray anything on the tree. All I did was help the tree relieve the stress itself by exposing the base of the tree. It's pretty fascinating how it works. How well it works, how quickly it works. Here's Ron in Branson, Missouri. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Howard. A couple questions. The mixture of molasses to water that you recommend, was that 2 tablespoons per gallon or what?
2 tablespoons would be fine. An ounce of liquid molasses per gallon of water is pretty good mixture to use. And it helps whatever you're doing. It's part of the Garrett juice formula, for one thing, and just helps that whole synergistic mixture work its best for the tree. If you're spraying some kind of a pesticide like a BT or a spinosad or any kind of organic pest control, the molasses in the mixture just makes whatever you're spraying much more efficient, much more effective.
Oh, yeah, we have a flower bed not a big one, but a fairly decent sized one. And the dirt in there is, or the earth, is like hard pan. It is the hardest stuff. And we haven't had a lot of success in trying to, I've brought some compost in and put in there, and that seemed to have a bit of a benefit to it. But I was just wondering if this, I think I heard you mention that this molasses therapy could help with the microbes. Is that right?
That's exactly what it does. And it stimulates biological activity, and that's the whole key to getting the soil softened and revving up the productivity of the soil and all that. And it does it by simply stimulating biological activity in the soil, the beneficial microbes, the beneficial fungus and bacteria. And when you have those microbes growing and expanding in the soil, their dead bodies, as they go through their life cycles and their waste as they just live, that's the most significant, most efficient way to build the carbon in the soil. And the carbon in the soil is directly related to the microbes being healthier. So it all just kind of feeds on it. Each piece of the puzzle feeds on the other pieces. You see what I mean? And that's why it's so important not to put out harsh, high nitrogen salt fertilizers, which is what they are, and the pesticides, because anytime you do that, you disturb that wonderful growth of the microbes in the soil, which is the key. That's the thing that we're trying to accomplish with every technique and every product that we recommend and use.
Oh, okay. A couple other questions. One quick one. Do LED lights, are they beneficial, like for a growing light? Would LEDs work, or do you have to buy a particular growing light to get the benefit of it?
No, LEDs are great, and LEDs vary just like any kind of light in intensity. And the key is to buy LED lights that are the brightest, have the most lumens. And you'll see when you're shopping for LED, it'll name the lumen level on the package. We just put in, a friend of mine just helped put in new lighting at our art studio, and all of it that we put in is LED. And the one that's in one of the workrooms, not the gallery, but the workroom area where I'm actually doing the painting and everything, he recommended this light to me that I'd never even heard of. It looks like a fluorescent light. It's flat and rectangular, kind of long, you know. But the whole panel is an LED light. It doesn't have little bead light bulbs in it. The whole panel of the thing, and it's like 4 feet long by a foot wide. And you can get different levels of it. But the one we got, it turns that art studio of mine where I do my work into the brightest, most beautiful situation you've ever seen, and it would make a wonderful grow light for greenhouse plants or for propagating seed, you know, for the vegetable garden. Oh, that's a great way to go.
Okay. Now, one more quick one. We buy seeds from Baker Creek. I think I've heard you mention that.
Yeah, good place.
Okay. And a friend of ours mentioned to us that they had some success growing what they called bunching onions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at Baker Creek's catalog, and they had a variety in there. And I tried to order it, but they said they were out of supply and wouldn't have them again until next year, I guess. But I was over at Home Depot the other day, and they still have a burpee seed display there, and one of the packages said bunching onions. And my question was this: when I hear the word bunching, I get the idea that the onions come up in, you know, they're supposed to look, I think, like what do they call them, green onions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And do they actually grow in clusters, or is it just a single stalk? I don't understand why they call them bunching.
Yeah, they do. That's where the name comes from. They grow in clusters. They're also perennial. The bunching onions, and they're also called walking onions. Have you ever heard that term?
I did. We were up in Wisconsin. We lived in Wisconsin at one time, and there was a company, a seed or a a catalog we would get from a supplier, and they had walking. That's the only reference I've heard to walking onions.
Same thing. Walking onions, bunching onions, the same thing. They're perennial onions, and they'll come back for you just like garlic chives will come back for you.
Are they pretty hardy as far as winter?
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Well, I'm going to try it.
Give it a shot.
All right, thanks so much.
All right. Let me know.
Thanks so much as usual. Okay.
Talk to you later. Well, look at that. We had good timing for a change. I shouldn't say we. Actually, he helped me with the good timing. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, website dirtdoctor.com. You can get all the information you need, including sources, retail stores that sell organic products. We have listings there. We have the Dirt Doctor destinations, the people that sell all the stuff that I recommend. So check it out, dirtdoctor.com. Dirt Doctor here with a tip on backyard storage. Usual storage sheds get unpleasantly hot during the summer and damage your stuff. Not the case with Ulrich sheds. Because of their ventilation systems, they're roughly about 18 degrees cooler than standard sheds. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their building designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the thousands of happy customers. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433 or ulrichbarns.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus and West Nile virus, but Summit Mosquito Dunks kills mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. For more information, go to SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Now more than ever, it is important to have a healthy immune system. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are a leading natural therapy for boosting immune health. Why? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily, like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics with their postbiotic metabolites, you can enhance your overall immune system and immune response. For additional immune support, get RegActive's immune formula to boost your glutathione levels. Since our glutathione levels go down if we feel stressed, maintaining glutathione levels is a key factor for natural defense. For a short-term immune boost, try Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus, which provides probiotic and immune support and includes Brazilian green propolis for superior antioxidant support and vitamin E, astaxanthin, and flax oil. Be proactive about your immune health. Ask your retailer today about Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, RegActive Immune Formula, and Dr. O'Hara's Propolis Plus today. Also available online.
Roses are one of the great landscape plants and also one of the best medicinal and culinary herbs in the world. They should be grown organically. When roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefit to the rose is squandered. Rose hip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, buy and plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are usually the best choice. Planting, watering, feeding instructions can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. For disease control in general, spray roses with garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray plant oil products such as Pure Grow. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in the early spring or when the foliage begins to grow. For serious disease problems, apply the sick tree treatment. And to learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to DirtDoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
The Medina Corporation, run by the Stuart Franke family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for years. Medina produces high-quality liquid and dry fertilizers like Medina's Organic Growing Green that has a balance of nutrients for developing healthy root systems and many other products. Whether it's landscaping, turf, trees, herbs, or vegetables, Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and protecting the environment. Medina products work beautifully and they're free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware stores, garden centers, farm stores, and other places that sell organic products. Medina, over a half a century of proven performance. For more information, go to MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Alrighty, and that website that I mentioned at the beginning of the break there, dirtdoctor.com, is spelled D-I-R-T-D-O-C-T-O-R, all spelled out. And it, if I do say so myself, and I'm certainly not the only one that has anything to do with it, Doug Sheldon, my business partner, is working on it all the time. Maggie Dwyer is working with us now and doing a lot of stuff, especially with Instagram and entries in the library, and it is growing. It's far and away the best website out there on natural organic gardening and all the related things, landscaping and vegetable gardening, herb gardening and all. But the main thing is it's getting better all the time. And one of the things that you can do that gets you to the newest stuff that's being added is right on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. As you look at the when the page comes up, over to the right, you'll see a list of items. Well, that list, those are the things that have been just recently changed on the website, either added or amended, edited, whatever. And so you can see the latest stuff. Keep up with that. One thing we keep there that's really a little bit of a cheat, we just keep it there on purpose, even though it's not hadn't changed in a while because it's so good. And I like for people who haven't seen it yet to see it. And it's the Fabulous Tree Slideshow. And it's really, really good. It covers all of the spectacular trees that I've had anything to do with or I've met myself personally. And it also covers a few that I've never seen. I've just come out of books or research or whatever. But a lot of them are trees that I've personally been involved with, like the national champion pecan tree in Weatherford, my big ginkgo tree at home, and other similar kind of things. We'll probably update it sometime too, but if you haven't seen it, it's got a lot of slides in it. It takes a little bit of time to watch it, but it not only covers those fabulous trees, but it covers the proper planting instructions for trees, and it's different what I recommend. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. And it covers the proper management of trees. It covers the sick tree treatment, how to do that, the flare exposure, and all that stuff, in addition to seeing all the beautiful trees, including the 3,000-year-old Montezuma cypress in Oaxaca, Mexico. A real good slideshow of that for you. Let's see where we are. Vicki, Waco, Texas. Hey, Vicki.
Yes. Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about treating a nut grass. We have about 10,000 square feet, and a third of that is all nut grass, and it's just growing and spreading. We did apply the molasses, the treatment. Took us about, over eight hours using a watering can. So it's daunting, and we're thinking second, maybe third application. How could we spread it easier and quicker? Would a spray bottle with the hose-in application be just as efficient?
The hose-in sprayers, I've written columns about them. You know, they just aren't dependable. They stop up and they break, and you don't get really even distribution. I would say putting the molasses out for nut sedge or nut grass would be a pretty good use for it, because it's not that critical to have an extremely careful mixture in this case, but it would be better if you did. And so probably what I would do, and in fact I'm going to do this, I've been meaning to do it for a week now, our vegetable garden, I haven't been spending as much time as I should in, and we let the weeds get out of control, got them all taken out, but we do have the nut sedge in it. I'm going to spray it with the trombone sprayer. The trombone sprayer can put out the material pretty efficiently over a big area. The other thing you can do would be to just put it in 5-gallon buckets and just, you know, splash it out rather than putting it out carefully with a little watering can. Just put it in 5-gallon buckets and just throw it out. You know, again, you're not worried about that real even distribution of the stuff. In fact, a good way to do it, and I may do this myself, is put it in 5-gallon buckets, mixed it about half a cup of molasses per gallon of water, throw it out with the buckets, and then go back and spray so you get a little bit more even coverage of the same mixture with the trombone sprayer.
Okay, and I guess one can get that trombone sprayer just about anywhere, Lowe's or?
No, unfortunately, the only place I know to get it right now is mail order. I don't know anybody that has it in stock. You can call around. Some of the places that sell organic products may have started selling it. They should have, because it's the only sprayer really that I recommend. Garden Variety Organics, which is an online place, used to sell it, and somebody sent me a note this week saying they didn't have it in stock, so I'm not sure about that, but it's definitely available. If you just do a search online, it's definitely available there. It's called the Hudson trombone sprayer.
Okay, and your idea with the bucket, now we have a water sprinkler system, so maybe after, if we use the 5-gallon bucket method, we could just turn on the sprinkler system.
Yeah, and it would kind of, you know, go out away from just where it hit and then spray as well, and I think that'd be a good way to get good coverage. You could also drill holes or knock holes in the bottom of the bucket and walk around and have it come out the bottom of the bucket. Howard Garrett, I'll be back right after this.
Okay. How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
One more thing on the molasses. Some people probably been talking about it kind of fast, haven't heard it. Basically, we put out molasses, liquid molasses, mix it a cup of liquid molasses per gallon of water or more. We drench that in the area where the nut sedge is growing, and it takes more than one treatment, and the nut sedge will die out slowly over a period of time. The reason it does that is this: nut sedge is a sedge, it's not grass, and it likes an anaerobic situation. When you put out molasses, like we're talking about, in a heavy way, you're super stimulating biological activity. Any part of the organic program will do it to a degree, too, but the molasses just for some reason seems to work really well, and it just slowly goes away because the conditions of the soil change. You can also speed up the process by using hydrogen peroxide, especially for the first treatment. Really drench it heavily with hydrogen peroxide and then start doing the molasses applications. I've noticed during the years of my research on this that nut sedge is primarily in areas where water is standing and it's anaerobic. I started seeing it on golf courses, for example, you know, because real low grass and you could easily see these kind of things, where the water would migrate over to the side of a green and then hit a different soil, or right around sprinkler heads. That's where the nut sedge was, because those were anaerobic spots. So the hydrogen peroxide will help oxygenate that area, and then the molasses is one of the best tools. There may be some other things that would work as well or better to stimulate the beneficial microbes and the fungi and bacteria and protozoa and all the things that change the conditions of the soil and make the nut sedge or nut grass go away. Here, and by the way, the chemical products like Image and those kind of things, they don't work very well. That's another reason not to use them, and they're toxic. And I've gotten that from a lot of feedback from people in the landscape business, by the way. Bill in Crowley, Texas is next up. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Howard. I need your professional opinion on what I'm thinking about doing.
Okay.
I've called you before about it's not a very large area, but it is my backyard. It's a juniper tree shaded, never been able to get anything to grow. I am thinking about putting gravel down for a ground cover to give it more of a decorative, easy to the eye look, and then some large planters with maybe some ferns or stuff that can grow in the shade.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted your opinion on maybe some ground cloth, gravel that may not affect those trees either.
I don't recommend any kind of ground cloth or plastic or weed blocking fabrics in any shape, form, or fashion, Bill.
Just gravel, okay.
The decomposed granite is a wonderful material for that sort of situation. And also the mulch, just a double ground because it looks better, or just single ground is okay if you don't mind the look of shredded native tree trimmings also works very well in that situation and looks good in contrast to the plants that you're putting in, like the ferns and the ground covers and things like you mentioned.
That was my question. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to hurt my trees, because even though they make great shade, they don't allow anything to grow under them. So
decomposed granite, they'll not only will it not
That's
hurt the
exactly
trees, the
what
trees
I was
will,
thinking the granite. Yeah.
Trees will love it. They like that condition a lot, and they like the plants. But the fabrics and the plastics don't do anything but waste your money and create a bad horticultural condition.
What, a couple suggestions on maybe some ferns that would do good under there?
The wavy cloak fern, if they're in the spots where it gets a little bit more light, they like a little bit of sun. The holly ferns will grow in more shade and are just wonderful. The only thing about holly fern is they like a lot of water. So be careful about that from the standpoint of overwatering your tree roots. You see what I mean? And then the one just called wood fern is a terrific fern as well for those shady situations. There's a plant that can become a little invasive, but it's not that hard to control, and I like it a lot that I've got in the shade of my trees in the back. It's looking really pretty, and it's dwarf Mexican petunia, the Ruellia plants. And you can get them with purple flowers or pink flowers, either one. But dwarf,
those grow wild all over my property.
Well, that's
this
a good
year
plant.
We had an abundant crop of them. They were like 3 feet tall and just did excellent.
It's a good plant. So, and I tell you, we play around with a lot of different ideas on ground covers that like shade. And it's true that English ivy and Persian ivy, and I use both of them, do well in the shade, and Ophiopogon and Liriope. But you know what is one of the most foolproof ground covers for the shade is Asian jasmine. A lot of people think it's a sun plant, but it likes the shade even better.
Great.
Okay.
I really appreciate your suggestions, and have a great day.
Okay. I'll talk to you later. The owner of Garden Variety Organics, Dewan, called and talked to Mary Rose and said that they are, in fact, out of the trombone sprayer, but working on getting a replacement. I hope that doesn't mean I need to talk to him. That Hudson's not making it anymore, that would be bad, because theirs is really, really good. Joshua in, is that Yellville, Arkansas?
That is Yellville, Arkansas.
Yellville, Arkansas. Well, thanks for calling. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm while I'm out here actually exposing some root flares.
All right,
but,
good.
I'm fixing to cultivate about an acre of land here, rip up all the ground and whatnot, and I'm planting an orchard.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out what – I know first-year trees you don't want to sprout right away and so you can prune them. But what would be the best fertilizer to put out there to help that grass and help the trees?
Well, any of the organic fertilizers would be fine. Real high on my list, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, are those that have some mycorrhizal fungus and beneficial bacteria in the products. And there's more than one out there. The Espoma products have pretty much that situation in all of their dry fertilizers. They're wonderful. The Medina products, same way, the Medina Growing Green, Good Natured, all of those that are available here in Texas. And I assume y'all are getting some of them in Arkansas because a lot of people there in your area are getting into organics. But the corn gluten meal is another good, really good organic fertilizer. The going along with the dry products, the liquids, you know, make your own Garrett juice mixture, that sort of thing, and put out the rock minerals, the lava sand and the azomite and granite sand, things like that. It would be very beneficial without any question.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, I've got some sassafras, and I've got a bunch of persimmon trees out here already, but I'm putting in apple trees, and I've got my bees. I've got about 17 bees, and I figure, 17 hives. I figure that'd be the best thing for a little orchard. So,
yeah, that's great. If you've got sassafras trees going, you're lucky, but it means you've already got good productive sandy loam soil. So you don't, doing the amendments that we were talking about there, Joshua, you don't even have to use as heavy amounts as people that are trying to get black clay soil in healthy condition or a sugar sand or something like that. You're going to be well along the road already, and these amendments like we're talking about will make a big difference in a hurry.
Well, that must be pretty good then. I've got about 17 sassafras trees right here.
That's a beautiful tree, but we can't even come close to growing them here in the alkaline soils. Where I came from, Pittsburgh, Texas, over in East Texas, we had them growing wild all over the place there. One of my favorite trees because of the foliage. The foliage, as you know, has each of the leaves is a different shape. They're all kind of different shapes
thing.
Of lobes. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually didn't know what sassafras tree looked like until I bought this property, and one's got the mitt and one's got the tri leaf.
Yep.
The coolest.
Some of them don't have any lobes at all, and then the fall color is spectacular red.
Yeah, that's why I'm pulling all the dirt and exposing the flares. When I got here, they were just looking pitiful, and I've slowly started exposing the flares.
All right.
They're really parking up.
Way to go.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, get to work. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see what Earl's up to. Cameron, Texas. Hey, Earl.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, what do we need to put anything down under the row of podcast?
Well, I'm having a hard time hearing you, Earl. Are you on a motorcycle or something?
Oh, I'm just getting outside. Hang on just a second.
It sounds like you either got a dog biting you in the rear or you're on a motorcycle, one of the two. And what were you saying?
My question is, I'm fixing to put some rows of side grass down St. Augustine, and I'm just wondering, do we need to put anything down before we put it, or just wait and fertilize it after we put it down?
Wait and fertilize any turf that you put down on the top of the turf after you've planted it. If you put a bunch of organic material and organic fertilizers down on the soil under the turf, it's kind of a waste of money. It doesn't do as much good, and it can even be a little bit of a problem. The only thing I would recommend for soil improvement before planting solid sod is if it's compacted real badly, rough it up, loosen it up, drag it, you know, make it nice and level and everything. Plant your solid sod, whether it's St. Augustine, zoysia, bluegrass, fescue, or whatever it is, and then if you can, rent a roller and or hire somebody to use a roller that's filled full of water so it's real heavy to roll the turf.
Yeah, I've got one. And just with Garrett juice or what?
Well, on top, you want to use a dry fertilizer right after it's planted, like we've been talking about. Spray it with Garrett juice, and if you put down a little light application of cornmeal, it'll help head off some of the fungal problems that have been hitting the turf this year with all the rain early and then the real high temperatures. So it's basically the simplest way to go is the best way to go.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate your call. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Wow, fast-moving show day. We're about to run out of time. We'll get as many calls on as we can before we get away from here. Does your garden have planting insurance? It can now with Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma. It's the ultimate starter plant food. The secret's a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and that includes mycorrhizal fungi. The result? Plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Best of all, every Espoma product is safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Learn to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic insect and pest control? Pure Grows Bug Stop is a blend of natural plant oils that controls mites, scale, whiteflies, aphids, tent caterpillars, and beetles. Bug Stop delivers rapid knockdown and kill and is safe to use around plants, pets, people, and beneficial insects. Ask for Pure Grows Bug Stop in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at puregrowusa.com or call 469-423-0712.
Azomite is a naturally occurring organic soil amendment that contains over 70 minerals and trace elements. It will improve root systems, yields, and general plant vigor in your garden, lawn, trees, field crops, and garden vegetables. Azomite is also a natural feed additive for chickens, livestock, and horses. Ask for Azomite in your local garden center or hardware store. If you need it in bulk or would like it delivered directly to you, then call Mike at 301-219-7540. Get better results today. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth:
Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
We all know that probiotics are good for digestive health, but your skin, too? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products, especially harsh soaps, can disrupt the balance of the good bacteria on your skin. But there's a progressive new approach to skincare that allows you to create a healthier environment on your skin. Probiotic skincare. Dr. Ohira applied ancient Japanese fermentation skills to merge his famous pre, pro, and postbiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line. The Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, beautifully clarifies and rebalances even sensitive skin without drying. The Magaroku Lotion and the Hadayubi Moisturizer combine Dr. Ohira's award-winning probiotic complex with 14 wild plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to help restore your natural glow. As a health and beauty expert, I recommend the daily use of Dr. Ohira's skincare products, available at Sprouts and other fine health stores.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, just about at the end of the show for today, but we are going to go visit right now in Plano, Texas with Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Howard.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, but my bald cypress that got planted in December of 2019 are not doing well. They grew really well through the spring, and now one of them has the leaves, the little fronds are turning brown from the trunk outwards. Tips are still green, but it looks like the tips won't be green much longer. So they were planted by the nursery that sold them to me, and they did the water dam around it. They built up the dirt so that water. And then I talked to another nurseryman, not the nursery that planted them that I bought them from. He said that you couldn't overwater a bald cypress.
Well, maybe not, but here's the rub on this. Bald cypress, and there's some people that don't even recommend bald cypress anymore. I still do. But there is a little bit of a problem with what's called the seed source. In other words, if a bald cypress that you bought came from a nursery that was growing the plants originally when they were young and getting them up to a sellable size. If they were growing them in an acid-type soil, a peat mossy kind of a soil, the trees get used to that. And that seed source, that specific bald cypress, is cut out for that kind of soil. And then it gets sold to somebody like you in Plano that puts it in black and white soil, black soil over white limestone. It has a hard time changing the kind of situation it can tolerate. That may be what you're dealing with. On the other hand, the way you describe that, the brown near the trunk and green tips would tend to indicate that it didn't get enough water. Is that a possibility?
Well, I hand water them every day, so I don't see how many, you know, I don't know how many gallons it would take for them to get, fully saturated, but the soil, you know, definitely is moist on the top down to a couple of inches.
Well, you shouldn't have to water that often. The other thing, and it's kind of related to what I just said, if in the nursery they were under a normal watering pattern, like the other plants in the nursery, the ball cypress can very well put up with a xeric situation. They're pretty drought tolerant in some ways, besides being tolerant of a whole lot of water. So I don't recommend the watering dams and that sort of thing for any tree. I recommend planting the tree properly and then really soaking it down and then watering on a normal basis. So you might do a probe, get a golf club and break the head off of it or saw it off better, or use a pipe probe and probe down in that soil area right at the ball and see if maybe you're staying too sopping wet, or if for some odd reason the water's draining off and there's air pockets or dry pockets down in there somewhere. If there is, after probing it, you can make sure that the water gets down into those dry pockets. I would spray the foliage and the trunk of the tree on a regular basis, just like watering the soil, because water can go in through, especially the thin bark like the younger growth on a ball cypress has. The water can go into the plant through the bark, and it can also take with it fish and seaweed or compost tea or cornmeal juice. The disease-fighting kind of things in case there's any fungus involved in this situation. And the ideal thing would be to use the entire Garrett juice mixture. If it is a seed source problem, you can get over it, but it might take several years of looking at some kind of ugly foliage before it starts doing it. I had a big ball cypress I helped with in the Lakewood area of Dallas years ago, and it took us over a year to get it to be not chlorotic looking and growing green foliage again. So that's a possibility. I hope that's not the case. When they planted it, did they plant it high or real deep in the ground?
I think they kind of planted it sort of flush with the rest. It's in a garden bed, so okay. I think they sort of planted it flush, but that was my next question. How can I tell if they planted it too low?
Just pull the soil away from the top of it, and then that's what I'd recommend. I was involved in another landscape project where we planted some real big ball cypress, and I had the contractor take the soil off the top, and they thought I was nuts because ball cypress, like you said, you know, can stand a tremendous amount of water, but they uncovered the root flares. And lo and behold, we discovered circling and girdling roots worse than I've ever seen on a plant, on a tree. So that's another possibility, that they got them a little too deep in the ground, and it's hiding those circling and girdling roots. If you pull the soil back and see those roots that are going round and around and around, prune them completely off and get down to the true flares going out away from the trunk. You see what I mean? We don't want the roots going around and around. We want them going out.
Okay.
Do that right away. Send me some pictures. I may see something else. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com, and I bet we can get it back in good shape.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. I appreciate everybody's calls today. Great stuff today. And I've enjoyed being with you. Go to our website, dirtdoctor.com. If you've got any questions, we still have that 2-for-1 deal going on our class, the online class that I teach. You buy one, regular price, identify somebody else that we will send one to for free. And I'll see you next week.